You're tuned to KGNU, and what we're going to play next is not a commercial. It's a reminder of a type of mineral supplement that many people assume will benefit their health.
Calcium-rich Tums goes to work in seconds. Tum. Fights heartburn fast.
As that Tums commercial points out, most people believe that calcium supplements are good for them. But there's a special kind of heartburn that calcium supplements just might be fueling. It's called a heart attack. A new study from the British Journal of Medicine warns that older men and women who take calcium supplements may be increasing their risk of heart attack around 30% compared to people who don't take the supplements. Often people take calcium pills, thinking that it will reduce the risk of breaking bones. The authors of the new study point out that taking more calcium only reduces bone fracture by a marginal amount. They caution that the benefit of reducing bone fracture risk may be far outweighed by the likelihood of increasing heart attacks by using calcium supplements. The new study is being hotly contested by supplement manufacturers. One person who says it's a predictable result is Dr. Ron Rosedale, who's been speaking out against calcium supplements for years. Dr. Rosedale points out that often people who have thin bones have high amounts of calcium plaques in their blood vessels, a condition that is well known to increase the chance of heart attacks. People with thin bones can also have calcium deposits in their joints, for instance with arthritis. Dr. Rosedale says when calcium's going in the wrong places like this, it's a sign that the body's confused and it's hormone signaling. For more, here's Dr. Rosedale.
That should have been predicted by basic calcium physiology. Really, calcium 101 would have predicted that taking extra calcium supplements in most people would be detrimental to their health. And I would have predicted, and I have for a couple of decades, that would probably lead to increased mortality. And some studies in Sweden, actually, over a decade ago, found that also. And the reason for it is severalfold. Paradoxically, calcium is so important for cellular signaling that the inside the cell, the intracellular calcium concentration, has to be kept extremely low and extremely accurate so that it can be detected properly. If there's too much calcium in the cell, it's very detrimental to the functioning of individual cells, but in particular to the functioning of cell signaling that integrates 15 trillion cells into a cohesive whole. And that's the problem with it. Calcium is called a second messenger in most hormonal signaling. So hormones tell a cell what to do, and they change the way genes are expressed, which essentially makes you who you are. In this case, whether you have heart disease or whether you don't, and actually whether you live or die. And when cells have too much calcium within the cell, cell biologists know that they're sick. And it's one of the hallmarks of cellular aging. The inside to outside cell ratio is in the neighborhood of 1 to 15 to 20,000. In other words, the inside concentration of calcium is much less than the exterior environment of a cell. And that's true not just in humans, but that's true in all life. So as life evolved, it evolved with extremely low inside the cell calcium concentrations. And cells have devised means, very intricate and important means, to keep that concentration extremely low. And in some cells, one of the major reasons that you even have to eat and that you utilize energy is to fuel the pumping of calcium out of cells.
Well, Ron Rosedale, are you saying that our bodies work harder to get calcium out of our cells than they do to take it in?
Oh, much harder. It's extremely important to work to keep calcium outside of the cell and have a very low concentration of calcium inside the cell. Otherwise, the cell cannot function properly. And if you're a bone cell, for instance, one of the proper workings is to build bone. And cells cannot function properly if they have too much calcium inside the cell. So paradoxically, those people taking all these calcium supplements are actually impeding their ability to build protein matrix, the actual foundation and the framework of bone, which is actually protein, which gives bone its strength and flexibility. So calcium doesn't build strong bones in the first place. That's a really wrong premise. Calcium makes bones harder. They mineralize bone, but being mineralized and being harder does not necessarily equate to bone strength. You can kind of picture a young, flexible, green tree versus an old oak tree, and who's going to survive the hurricane? And little babies have very strong bones that are bendable. We used to do that in medical school. Bend the forearm of a baby, it wouldn't hurt, wouldn't break. And they have stronger bones than you or I because they're flexible. But if they did a bone density study, it would show a horrible case of osteoporosis. There's so many falsities that have to do with health in general, especially having to do with nutrition. We've talked about cholesterol in the past and diabetes. Osteoporosis and calcium is just another one.
Can somebody have weak bones that are easy to break and at the same time have too much calcium in their arteries, or can they have too much calcium in their joints, meaning arthritis? Can you have too little calcium, or too little strength at least, in your bones and yet have the calcium going in the wrong places and too high a load in your arteries and in your joints?
That's an excellent question, and not only can people have that, they generally do. In fact, there's a very, very powerful and robust correlation between osteoporosis and arterial calcification, meaning that the more osteoporosis a person has, the greater their risk of having calcium in their arteries. In order to have the calcium, it's just going in all the wrong places because the body has lost instructions on where to put it. We know that's extremely important, not just in osteoporosis, but in diabetes and in cardiovascular disease, in obesity. The problem with disease is one of miscommunication. And it's not just the parts. It's not cholesterol and it's not glucose causing diabetes. It's a problem in the instructions that the parts are receiving. They're critical parts, but it's the instructions that go wrong. And if the instructions go wrong on building bone or where to put calcium, then you're going to have osteoporosis and you're going to have weak bones. It's not just a matter of taking in the calcium. If it doesn't know where to go, it's not going to go in your bones necessarily. It's going to go everywhere else, including your arteries and your kidneys and your gallbladder, and cause lots of trouble.
In this British Medical Journal article about how calcium supplements increase the risk of a heart attack, it did say that if somebody's taking vitamin D along with a calcium supplement, the risk of a heart attack, they don't know if that would still be high. They think that there's a chance that they might not have as much risk if they're taking vitamin D with calcium. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yes, it does. Although vitamin D would be one of the signals that helps direct where calcium goes. It used to be thought that vitamin D's main importance was in helping to regulate the absorption of calcium, but we now know that vitamin D really acts more like a hormone and has many other functions, including helping the risk of cardiovascular disease in a multifactorial way. So it does help direct where calcium goes, but there's many other signals that perhaps are much more powerful than vitamin D in regulating calcium metabolism and in particular bone formation. Leptin, testosterone, pregnenolone, progesterone, growth hormone in a positive way, and then of course in a negative way, anything that raises blood glucose, cortisol, many other hormones can cause the breakdown of the protein matrix of the bone. If you can't burn fat, for instance, and you have to burn sugar in the middle of the night when you're not eating, you're going to break down your lean mass to supply your glucose needs if you're unable to burn fat. And I would say that's probably one of the most significant causes of osteoporosis that has, again, little to nothing to do with calcium.
Your body in the middle of the night can be breaking down your bones to make sugar for your body?
Absolutely. That will happen if you're unable to burn your major fuel storage source, which is fat. So if a person is insulin and leptin resistant, if they're unable to listen to those signals, they're unable to burn fat, and they have to burn sugar, your body doesn't store very much sugar, and it'll manufacture the sugar that it needs from lean mass, including muscle and bone. And one of the major causes of the loss of lean mass as we age has to do with the catabolism, or the eating up of lean mass to supply a person's fuel needs. And you only have essentially two fuels you can burn. You can burn fat and you can burn sugar. And that's determined by the proper signaling of hormones. And if those hormones are not heard properly, you're going to burn sugar because you're unable to burn fat. And to supply that sugar again, you're going to have to break down your lean mass. And that's a major problem. So these are extremely powerful hormones that have a lot to do with calcium, but not in the way that people think. It's not due to calcium building strong bones, but due to the fact that all of these hormones require proper calcium signaling within the cell. And if there's too much calcium around, it's like having too much noise. So we're trying to converse right now, and having too much calcium around would be similar to a rock band or loud music playing in the background. You wouldn't, or the audience wouldn't, be able to hear what we're talking about. And that's what happens when there's too much calcium in a cell. It can't really hear the proper signal of calcium. And so the signals within the cell get disrupted. And one of those signals is to build bone. And if there's too much calcium around, it can't build bone. And one of the ways that there's too much calcium in a cell is if it can't continue to pump calcium out, and has a much more difficult time pumping calcium out if a person is taking too much calcium in. So it'd be like having a sump pump in the basement. As we age, we have a more difficult time getting calcium out, but we'll have further difficulty if it starts raining harder. The raining harder would be like taking too much calcium. Our old sump pumps would have a much more difficult time keeping calcium outside of the cell, and the calcium that we're taking in, either through dietary means or through supplementation, will, just by mass action, diffusion, force its way into the cell.
Ron Rosedale, the recommended daily allowance of calcium for men and women who are older is over 1,000 milligrams a day. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, it's not a good idea at all. The idea that calcium builds strong bones is kindergarten medicine. I hate to say that, but I don't know of a better term to put it. It's like assuming that we could gather a bunch of bricks and put it on an empty lot and just sit back and expect a house to spontaneously be built. It's not going to happen. We could take a cup of carbonate or calcium phosphate or coral calcium, any type of calcium you want. We could mix it in a bucket of blood and wait several times the lifetime of the universe and never see a bone form. To make bone, you need signals to make bone. You need directions to make bone. And just taking calcium is not going to make bone. So you need proper hormones that say build bone. And to do that, you need to build the protein matrix. So the building that most people are in is not being held up by the brick trim on the outside. It's being held up by the frame of the house. And that's what the protein is. It also allows for the flexibility. And the bricks allow for rigidity. And that's not the same thing. So the flexible bones really are what dictate the strength. The rigidity, however, allows us to get bigger and stand up against gravity so that we don't just bend over like a Gumby doll. Our bones wouldn't necessarily break, but they would be so flexible that we wouldn't be able to stand up. So the mineralization allows for rigidity, not necessarily strength. And if we just over-mineralize our bone, but don't make enough of the protein matrix, what will happen then is that we just get old, dry, brittle bones that might look good on a bone density study, but that are actually quite fragile, and that if you break them, it's almost like breaking glass. You get all these splinters everywhere. It's not like the young green stick fracture, which is actually what it's called in medicine. If you have a good, young, strong bone and you break it, you get what's called a green stick fracture. It's like, you know, cracking a green twig, which generally you really don't even have to do anything with. It'll just heal on its own. Many times we'll splint it, but it's generally unnecessary. Whereas if you break an elderly bone, even in people who have been on drugs for osteoporosis, which inhibit the breakdown of bone but do nothing to build up bone, and you get thicker, older, more brittle bones, then you get these really horrible fractures that splinter everywhere that are very, very difficult to heal or mend. So it's not the same thing.
Now, one more question about this research article. They did indicate that calcium supplements seemed to increase the risk of a heart attack, while they didn't really improve the risk of breaking a bone very much. But they did say that if somebody is eating a high calcium diet, meaning they're eating dairy products or sardines or kale, foods that are high in calcium, and getting their calcium that way, their risk of heart disease was not as high. In fact, it might even be lowered. How would you explain why supplements might be a different story than eating foods high in calcium?
Well, there's very many, in those type of assumptions, there are many confounding variables. For one thing, that many of the foods that are higher in calcium also have higher protein content, and they're also much lower in sugar content. And so one must look at the associated factors to eating a diet that's higher in calcium. Many times it would be lower in sugar and other factors that might reduce the strength of bone, number one, but also increase the risk of heart disease. So that was an assumption in that article that one would really have to test much more thoroughly in controlling some of the confounding variables to see why that is so.
I hear you saying that it may not be the fact that they're high calcium diets. It might be that they're low sugar diets or that they're high in some vitamin. We don't know.
Higher in some other vitamin, higher in, or just mostly lower in some of the other factors that might disrupt proper cellular signaling that would sometimes control the vasodilation of arteries. Arginine, for instance, we know that can cause a dilation of arteries and perhaps reduce risk of heart disease.
So that makes the arteries wider so that they don't stay as narrow and stiff.
Right. Also, if you raise insulin, the arteries will become much more constricted. The same with leptin. When you increase the sympathetic nervous system, you increase the risk of heart attack. So how these hormones were affected by those type of diets was not measured at all.
Well, you find this to be an interesting study because it goes against the grain somewhat on what people have thought. And it wasn't an issue that people were looking at very much. Does adding more calcium to the diet really help bones get stronger and reduce the chance of other problems, or does it create more problems? This study seems to say that it does create more problems. What further studies would you like to see to look at this issue further in regards to calcium?
What really ought to be looked at are some of the aspects of how diet affects some of the hormones that are known to play a role in bone anabolism, in the buildup of bone. We know that there are signals that are necessary. There are directions that are necessary to build bone. And these directions, as are any directions, given by hormones. And it would be very interesting to see how a particular macronutrient composition or a particular diet will affect the hormones that affect the buildup of bone, and how calcium might disrupt or perchance even help. I don't think so. I think it would disrupt the hormones that allow for the buildup of bone. But I think an even deeper question is, how does this affect mortality? Because I think what one will find is that for the same reasons that the buildup of bone might be disrupted, you might find the actual upkeep and maintenance of life would be disrupted. And so in those people who might be more prone to osteoporosis, or more prone to heart disease, I don't think it is just those diseases, but you'll find that all of the chronic diseases of aging, and in fact aging itself, will be adversely affected, such that the actual rate of aging would be a bit accelerated in those people who are taking in an excessive amount of calcium, which is the amount of calcium that is being recommended, which makes no sense, actually. Even if one looks at, in an epidemiologic sense, the consumption of dairy products and calcium in different countries, you'll find that there are many countries that have a very low intake of calcium and have also a very low intake of osteoporosis. The routine assumption of osteoporosis being due to a lack of calcium delves way back to the dairy industry wanting to sell dairy products and have really nothing to do with the science of health. And there's really little to no evidence to show that in the vast majority of people that there's a reduction in calcium intake as a basis of an increased risk of osteoporosis. In this country, the risk of too low an intake of calcium being at the root of osteoporosis is extremely low. I mean, the amount of calcium taken in this country is extraordinarily high compared to other countries, and yet we have one of the highest rates of osteoporosis in the world. And yet they'll continue to recommend an intake of calcium to build bone because of a picture that calcium builds bone. But that's a false assumption, like we talked about. Calcium doesn't build bone. It is signals that build bone, and it's the signals that have to be measured. And I think it's the signals that always have to be measured, and not just the amount, not just the amount of insulin, for instance, or the amount of leptin or the amount of testosterone, but how well the cells are listening to them. That's what communication requires, not just the volume of speaking, but how well it's being heard, which is considerably more important, also much harder to measure.
Well, thanks for giving us something to listen to here. And we'll talk more about bones on another day.
Okay.